Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Beavis and Butthead. Final time this decade, I guess.
That's us, man.
Well, not necessarily. I guess we still have a few more days to go. Final Friday. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. One more hour to go. And then I guess Chipper can go take his second leak of the day.
Oh, he's done a couple of those already.
Or third, okay. Well, since he's been here.
Oh, yeah.
Being good, eating cheese, and sleeping. So that's my kind of day.
That sounds like Friday to all of us. Just happened to throw the dog in the mix.
We're talking about Logan's dog, in case you aren't familiar.
Dog in the studio alert.
Yeah.
Makes for great days.
I know who's a big dog this weekend. The Oklahoma Sooners.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow over in Atlanta, the Peach Bowl. Taking on number one LSU.
Yeah, we got on the phone now a buddy of mine, Tyler McComas. He's the host of The Rush. That's Sports Talk 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. Covers the Sooners. Had him on this show a couple of times talking about Oklahoma back during the Rose Bowl. And whenever Oklahoma's on a big stage, we bring him in to get his thoughts. Tyler, thanks for your time this morning. A little last minute, so I appreciate it extra you joining us this morning.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Not as good as you and your fan base is doing, since you guys are actually playing for a lot of meaningful things, and that's just the world we live in now, where Georgia, for the second consecutive year, is heading down to the Sugar Bowl, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of energy around it. But you are coming into Atlanta tomorrow to play for a college football playoff. So what's the mood like in Norman?
I mean, the mood's good. It's just funny because nobody nationally is giving this team a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
And if you paid attention at all to media day yesterday, LSU, they had Jamar Chase yesterday saying that OU's defensive backs are slow and they've got stiff hips. You've got one of their linebackers saying that, and Jalen Hurts is pretty good and CeeDee Lamb's pretty good. But outside that, they're just kind of average on offense. So it's, you know, really for an OU program, like for instance this year, they were a favorite in every single game, and that's really kind of the case every single year. Like for the first time in a long time, there's this us against the world mentality for an OU football game. And is that actually going to matter when things get kicked off tomorrow? I don't know, but it is a fascinating spot to be in that nobody nationally is giving you a chance. Everybody thinks that you're going to lose by three touchdowns. The opposing team is talking smack on you. And I got to be honest, like I was surprised by that a little bit, because if we're talking about like the Texas Bowl or the Belk Bowl, like you hear trash talk in those, but normally there's a lot of respect for a college football playoff semifinal game.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of that right now from the LSU side, which is interesting.
Well, how would you compare this year, Tyler, to last year where the point spread is similar? You know, you guys were about a two-touchdown underdog against Bama last year, and it's kind of the same this year. But how would you compare these two seasons?
So last year, I didn't even entertain the thought that OU had a chance to beat Alabama. I just didn't. And it turned out that I was right. I think that there was an intimidation factor, too. I think that OU was intimidated when they walked out on the field against Alabama. And before you could blink, they're down 28-0. So, I mean, I just didn't see any way that they were beating them last year. LSU, I will entertain it. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to pick OU to win the game. I'm actually not going to do that. But I think that there are some areas where OU could expose LSU, where maybe LSU is weaker this year than 2 years past. Now, in terms of the two seasons, I don't know if these two teams could be any different. Last year, OU probably had its worst defense in school history. This year, the defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it had Kyler Murray, one of the best quarterbacks in school history. This year, it has Jalen Hurts, who's a good player, but, man, really turns the ball over a lot this year. They're just not as explosive as they've been, even though the numbers look really, really good. We talked about it yesterday on our show, which is shocking. I've got more confidence in the OU defense making a play in this game than I do the OU offense. And that's shocking Logan right now, because 2 years ago he watched the OU defense just get absolutely torched with simple running plays to Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. But that's where this team is right now.
Dave mentioned the spread a second ago, and as you said, you know, last year you didn't give Oklahoma much of a chance, and you got LSU players running their mouth right now about Oklahoma's offense and how they're, you know, lackluster and whatnot. We remind ourselves, and you obviously talk about it every single week, that the only game Oklahoma has lost was one of those just really freak any given Saturday losses to Kansas State, and you guys almost came back and won that game in miraculous fashion. But going into this game and throughout the whole season, where there has been a lot of times where Oklahoma was very much on the outside looking in, is there a feeling of disrespect, like, hey, the nation is not looking at us the way they should be? Because as you mentioned, the defense is better than it is right now. What is just the mindset of Sooner Nation in terms of national respect right now?
Yeah, I think that everybody is feeling a whole lot of disrespect right now. I think the players are feeling that. I think Lincoln Riley feels that. The fans all around here. It's funny. I think that most OU fans are kind of quietly confident mm-hmm. about this game. But in a weird way, after all those comments came out yesterday from Media Day, I feel like the OU fan base is even more confident about shocking the world and winning this game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, LSU hasn't been on the stage before. They're talking all this mess, and it's going to come back to bite them. That's almost the feel right now, is there's so much disrespect going on that they're going to rally and find a way to win. Like, you know, the way that LSU is treating this game to me, guys, it's almost like, well, we're going to go to the Peach Bowl and play because we have to. But really, I mean, come on, we're going to go to New Orleans here in a few days in our own backyard and play for a national championship. I guess we'll stop in Atlanta and play this Peach Bowl game. It's just very oddly similar to the 2000 national championship game this team played against Florida State when they were still making their rise back from the down portion that they had in the 90s. And Florida State was, like, laughing at them. Like, there was, like, this era of confidence around them that's like, Oklahoma doesn't even deserve to be on the same field as us. Oh, you won that game 13-2. This game is not going to be 13-2, but it just kind of feels like that same disrespect that this team or this program felt 19 years ago.
That was Mark Richt's last game as the Florida State offensive coordinator, and they put up a two-burger. That's definitely something to keep in mind.
You bring up some good points about LSU maybe overlooking this, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it seven ways to Sunday, but has it come up? And I know this is not a good memory for Georgia fans here, but Jalen Hurts knows Mercedes-Benz Stadium very, very well and has had success there. How do you think that'll factor into tomorrow's game?
I think it has somewhat of a factor. I mean, OU has, like, never played a game in the state of Georgia, which is weird, by the way. We got to schedule a home-and-home in Athens and Norman. I got to get to Athens as soon as possible. I got to check that place out.
Can't wait to have you.
For sure.
Yeah. I do think that that's a little bit of a factor. They've played LSU before. Maybe he kind of knows what they're all about. There's a familiarity with this game that Jalen Hurts hasn't had all year. I mean, it's been a year of first for him, right? He really downplayed the OU-Texas game. I saw what it's all about. Downplayed a whole lot of other things throughout the year. Like, this is the first time where Jalen Hurts goes into a game and he's got some familiarity as a background mm-hmm. with some of these teams and some of these stadiums. So that'll be interesting to see.
Tyler McComas, who's the host of The Rush, Sports Talk 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. I hope Coach Donnan's listening to us right now. He would love to know this. Tyler, let me ask you this. You mentioned about Oklahoma not being an underdog. In fact, not only is Oklahoma not an underdog in any game this season, the only time they were a single-digit underdog was the Big 12 – or, excuse me, a single-digit favorite was the Big 12 championship against Baylor, so the second time around. And that was 9.5, so that was almost 10. Oklahoma hadn't been an underdog, Logan, since the middle of 2017 in the regular season. Something to think about. But, Tyler, give us a little bit of an update on Baylor. Because for a lot of Georgia fans, we don't know a whole lot about Baylor other than, you know, Matt Rhule's done a great job there. They won one game a couple of years ago, and they've turned things around. But give us a little update on Baylor, and especially on the quarterback, Charlie Brewer, and what his status is.
So I fell into the trap of everybody else. You know, I was looking at their scores. It's like you go down their schedule and you're like, God, they barely beat Tech at home. God, they had to, you know, have a last-second field goal to beat Iowa State. Like, you look at all their scores and you're like, this team isn't very good. They're just, like, extremely fortunate. The mm-hmm. ball has just bounced their way this year. And then they get up 28-3 against OU and look like the best team in the country. And, of course, OU rallies and wins that game. So I even thought after that, I was like, okay, even though Baylor lost, they're better than what I thought they were. But come on, OU didn't have CeeDee Lamb that day. It just kind of got rolled up on them. We saw who the better team was. And then I saw them again a few weeks ago in the Big 12 championship game. Guys, I'm telling you, their defense is legit. James Lynch in the middle of their defense, he can go. He can play. My radio partner is Teddy Lehman, who won the Buckus Award back in 2003. And I asked him straight up yesterday, I'm like, whose defensive line is better, Baylor's or LSU's? He said, dude, it's Baylor's and it's not close. I said, okay, well, what about an overall defense? Who's better, Baylor or LSU? And he's like, look, LSU's athletes are better. I mean, I think that we can all see that. But Baylor as a defense as a whole, OU is not going to be hit in any game this year like they were hit against Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. Those dudes aren't overly athletic, but they're really physical. They play really smart football, and they hit hard. And now him saying that, we both recognize that this isn't a vintage LSU defense, but it's still got a whole lot of first-round draft picks on it. Stingley can play. Delta can play. Kalavon Chaisson can play. I mean, they got some good players on that side of the ball. Now, offensively, guys, that's where they really struggle. What's the status on Charlie Brewer? It doesn't really feel like Matt Rhule has said much about it. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much my opinion changes on this game if he plays or not. He had a miserable performance in the Big 12 championship game. I think that he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback. They've got some good skill players. I like Denzel Mims at wide receiver. He's a tough matchup. I like Chris Platt at wide receiver. He's a really nice player. But they don't block well up front. Their offensive line is the weak point of their football team. And they just don't have a quarterback that's good enough to get the ball to those receivers. With Georgia's good defense, if they show up, if they want to be in New Orleans, much like last year, if they want to show up and play well and that defense shows up, then there is a really good opportunity for the Dogs to hold Baylor to under 10 points.
Tyler, you were supposed to come on here and tell me that this lackluster Georgia offense was going to score 40 on Baylor. I'm not feeling too good about that right now.
Dude, I'm really like, it took me a while. It really did take me a while. But Baylor's got a good defense. Their deep run's good, and they got a couple safeties that can play too.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Well, especially to the matchup with Georgia's offensive line being, you know, kind of decimated right now.
Yeah, Georgia's got a couple guys that are not playing in this game for
two
NFL
tackles,
draft
no
purposes.
Big deal. Yeah.
But let me ask this, because Oklahoma did win both of those games, as close as both of them were, but what did work for Oklahoma's offense? I know it's two apples and oranges in terms of the style of offense, but what did Oklahoma find success going against that Baylor defense?
Well, when they were down 28-3, what they found success with is running Jalen Hurts, quarterback run game, keeping Baylor's defense out on the sideline. That third quarter, Baylor ran, I think it was three offensive plays in the third quarter. So they were able to run it right at them, keep their defense off the field. Their defense was gassed in the second half. But it was just kind of different both games. I mean, that's what worked in the second half, Jalen Hurts running the football. Second game was just throw it to CeeDee Lamb and let him go make a play. So they've been vulnerable to the big play. But they have been vulnerable in the run game at times. But if Georgia's offensive line isn't where it needs to be, then maybe they're going to have a tough time running the football.
Tyler, you're headed to Vegas. You're going to make a futures bet, and you've only got two choices. Which coach will be in the Big 12 longer, Matt Rhule or Lincoln Riley?
I would put down a lot of money on this, first off. I would put down a lot of money on Lincoln Riley. Guys, he just... Look, if I felt like he was going to go to the NFL, I would have heard one thing from him or one thing from sources to where I'm like, okay, this is something to be worried about. OU fans got nothing to be worried about. The only job that he would take is the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't even think that he's going to take that job this offseason. It's maybe in the future. I think in like 8 years' time, 5 to 8 years' time, let's revisit this conversation, and I think it's legit. But right now, like, OU is where he wants to be. He realizes that he has a really good gig, and I really think that he's going to be around here for a while because he's excited what he's built. Matt Rhule, this may be Matt Rhule's last game at Baylor. I think that he's going to get some NFL offers, if not this year, then the following year after. So I would lay down a whole lot of Logan Booker's money on Lincoln Riley staying longer than Matt Rhule.
There
for
you
sure.
Go.
Not going to get you too far, Tyler, but I appreciate you having that much trust. Hey, speaking of what Lincoln Riley is building, there at Oklahoma. There's a certain quarterback in our neck of the woods that's committed to Lincoln right now, Brock Vandegrift. What are you guys excited about Brock and what he may bring to the Oklahoma program very soon?
I mean, this kid looks like he has an arm, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
we can confirm that.
He does. He's legit.
Yeah. A lot of people are excited about him. The thing about Brock, though, and we'll see how it goes early on in his career, you're going to have a redshirt freshman next year, Spencer Rattler, who was also the number one quarterback in the country, mm-hmm. but he's coming out of the state of Arizona. And I think that it's his job to lose next year. So, of course, Brock will be a senior next year. So maybe he has to wait, you know, 1 or 2 years when he gets on campus, you know. And I hate to bring this up with Justin Fields, but we know how the transfer portal works if five-star quarterbacks don't get to play right away, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're gone.
Yes, sir.
He's got a chance to be – I mean, Lincoln Riley sent three consecutive guys to New York. And if Brock Vandegrift is what we think that he is and he becomes a starting quarterback – let's not act like that situation for him isn't very likely. Which, by the way, I got to mention, OU got to practice the other day, a couple days ago at Turner Field, and which obviously is the site of the worst infield fly call of all time, but I'm not bitter about that. A lot of our media were making jokes about that, but they got to practice at the site of the worst infield fly call of all time.
Now, where are you from?
I am from Oklahoma.
Okay.
But TBS days, dude.
Okay.
I was at opening day of SunTrust Park when it opened. Me and a bunch of my buddies flew out there. I'm the biggest Braves fan in the state of Oklahoma.
Awesome.
I'm just waiting to the day that we can finally beat the LA Dodgers. That's just what I'm waiting on.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, today's Cole Hamels' birthday, so maybe there's some good, I don't know, something good for that. I don't know what that is.
I'll tell you what, Tyler, you know, just back to Oklahoma football real quick. You've got me believing after talking to you that Oklahoma has a better chance than I gave them. You brought up some really good points. I have to warn you about something, though. In the SEC championship game, it was very obvious that LSU right now is a team of destiny. There was this one play, I forget when it was, where Joe Burrow threw the ball. It got batted back to him. He catches his own pass. He runs 20 yards for a first down. Then the big broken play where he should have been sacked like three times. He finds his receiver for like 80-some-odd yards. So I know the intimidation factor, you said you had it with Alabama last year. But when you guys have reviewed this LSU season, I mean, it's crazy to think what these guys have gone through. They're having the magic year that Georgia had in 2017, but it's a factor going into tomorrow, is it not?
Yeah, I did the same thing 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I went back and I said, okay, let's really see about Joe Burrow. I didn't think that he was a bad quarterback, mm-hmm. but I'm like, is he really this good? Let me go back and watch, put on the Georgia game, put on the Alabama game, and guys, I was stunned.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. Like, I thought that this guy – and I had watched some LSU games this year, but not, like, seriously in depth. I'm like, this kid can move. He can get outside the pocket. He can make plays with his feet. He can throw on the run. The ball just flies out of his hand. Like, all these cliches that you talk about with great quarterbacks, like, he has it. Like, I guess I didn't know what to expect with Joe Burrow. I knew that he was good, but he blew me away. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, God, is he the best quarterback in the college football playoff this year? I mean, I thought that he would have been third going in, but I think there's a conversation where he's number one. No, man, I mean, they are a team of destiny. He's legit. And you look at their scores this year, and I know that Auburn did probably as good of a job as anybody limiting their offense, but it's like they didn't even have a bad game this year. Like, everybody in college football has a game where they don't play well and they have a bad game.
Right.
Georgia loses to South Carolina. Oklahoma loses to Kansas State. Whatever, it happens. It's to every single team. But this year it hadn't happened to LSU.
No.
I mean, they had a close game with Auburn, but outside that, they just really kind of rolled everybody that they played.
That was the scary thing about Auburn is that Auburn limited LSU to two yards per play less than they averaged this year, and LSU still had over 500 yards of offense.
Right, yeah.
So,
right,
I mean, that's exactly. the scary thing about that. So.
Well, yeah, best of luck over the weekend.
Yeah,
I'm excited for you. Now, you've never been in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I've told you your jaw is going to drop, so when you get into town tomorrow, just be warned that is a really, really nice place and hopefully a place of good memories for you tomorrow as well.
Yeah, so. I haven't been inside, but when I was in Atlanta last for the mm-hmm. opening of SunTrust, we were staying at the downtown CNN Center. So I walked up to it while it was still being built. I've just heard there's free Chick-fil-A sandwiches everywhere at this game. Well, I'm
The Chick-fil-A Bowl is very well known for that, so absolutely. Hey, follow Tyler at Tyler_McComas. That's MC OMAS. I'll say it again in just
MCC.
A couple of minutes. MCC, forgive me. Underscore Tyler McComas. I'll give it again in a second. But we're looking forward to your coverage here in Atlanta, and best of luck at the Peach Bowl. Also, in September 9th, 2023, you're going to need to house me and Dave and Norman. And then we'll return the favor in 2031 when you guys come to Athens. How's that sound?
It sounds great on one condition,
yes.
Logan. You stop posting Rose Bowl pictures of the worst day of my life, okay? I know that you love to do that, but come on, man.
It's crazy because that's all we have in 40 years, but it's crazy that the difference of memories. I know it was a great day all around, but we love that game, and I totally understand how you guys despise it. But I'll say this, and I've said it before. Every Oklahoma fan I met and interacted with in Pasadena was fantastic, to the point where they made me an Oklahoma fan when they're not playing the Dogs.
So, yeah, honestly, though, I mean, it was a heartbreaking finish,
yeah.
But that was that's the coolest sports experience that I've ever had in my entire life. I don't know if I'll ever top that.
Hey, the Rose Bowl is a playoff venue next year. Maybe we'll get a chance to go and play each other again there next year.
Love it, man. So, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and say hello to our buddy Ryan Hibble as well. We love Ryan
out
there.
Yeah, I'll do that.
So,
yeah, great golf coach over here.
Absolutely. Sure. He is terrific. He really is. Thank you so much, Tyler.
Yeah, see you guys.
Yeah, thanks for your time, bud. Right. Tyler McComas, let me say it better this time. @Tyler_MCComas. Tyler McComas covers Oklahoma football, radio host in Norman. But yeah, give him a follow and check out his coverage in Mercedes-Benz these next couple of days. And Dave, he's playing for something, man. His team has a meaningful game this weekend. I'm a little jealous.
Hey, look, when you can score points,
mm-hmm.
you might be an underdog, but you can still be in the game. And I know, like he said, the game against Alabama last year where the Tide went up 28-0 really fast. And they might have, you know, mentally shut it down a little bit because that score ended up – it got a little bit tight there. Mm-hmm. But if you can score points, you're in the game. That's the thing about Oklahoma. They're not going to take the foot off the pedal whether they're up 28-0 or down 28-0.
So
that game tomorrow's got a very good chance of being interesting too. And remember the Heisman Trophy winner has lost in the semifinal each of the last 2 years, right? So Mayfield lost to Georgia, and Murray lost to Alabama.
And now the Heisman's on the other side.
Yeah, so now the Heisman's in the SEC. Does that turn things around or not?
Thinking about the quarterbacks that LSU's defense has played against this year, Sam Ellinger early in the season, you know, he's good, not great, obviously. Then you have to go to Kyle Trask at Florida, Bo Nix, the true freshman. You got what I think was a hobbled-up Tua Tagovailoa in Alabama. Would you say the best quarterback that most resembles Jalen Hurts is the Rice Plumlee kid from Ole Miss? And he diced up LSU. He rushed for like over 200 yards.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's pretty good too, but they were a defeated team by the time they played LSU. I'm just saying that based on the conversation we just had and talking about LSU players trash talking, I think right now my optimism for Oklahoma is probably higher than it's been. And maybe, just maybe, Jalen Hurts is the elixir that gives LSU fits tomorrow.
But like Tyler was saying, though, that is the one thing that has killed him.
Right.
The turnovers.
Absolutely. But
the turnovers have been huge.
It's going to take a near-perfect game, no doubt, for Jalen Hurts to win that game tomorrow. But we've seen Jalen Hurts do some pretty special things in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So I'm excited for tomorrow. I think it's going to be a fun day.
All right. Thanks again to Tyler. It was good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.